Why, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is 11:12. It's time for AgainstTheNumber.com. We bring in one of the fine prognosticators over there. What is AgainstTheNumber.com? Well, I'll tell you. They are a highly skilled team of premium sports handicappers focused on one thing and one thing only, beating the sports books at their own game. They cover every sport worldwide, from the NFL to college basketball to soccer to cricket to tennis to European hockey, and all of them are proven winners. They offer a full season, end of current season, 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, and 1 year specialist-specific packages. Their prices are reasonable, their tracking and distribution process is simple, and their results are real. Let's bring in our main man, J.D. Sharp, who likes to talk a little NFL and MLB. And first of all, J.D., any tie-in with Sharp's Rifles? You remember that show with Sean Bean?
Honestly, Rick, I do not remember that show, so there is no tie-in there. But okay. if I even knew what that show was, I would spin this so that there may be some type of tie-in there, but not really, that there's not. I don't know.
Yeah, Sharp's Rifles with the silent E. It was from the early 90s, the Irish actor Sean Bean. It was set during the Peninsular War when they were fighting against Napoleon. Your thoughts?
Sean Bean, the actor, who was fantastic in, obviously, Game of Thrones. He was killed way too early in that. But he was also in a movie with Harrison Ford called Patriot Games. Yep. From, 1994, maybe 1993, something like that. I do remember
he was GoldenEye. I think he was 006 in GoldenEye, and he also was the coward in that movie Ronin with De Niro.
Okay. I don't remember I saw Ronin, but I don't remember his specific part in that movie. But yeah, Sean Bean, fantastic actor, very underrated, and he should have lived a lot longer in Thrones, in my opinion.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Now, let's get to this crazy week of football, which seems to be every week now. You have Harbaugh not kicking a field goal. You have Josh McDaniels trying an onside kick in the second quarter. You have stupid, weird calls from Nathaniel Hackett. You're just some of the things that jumped out at you after week four.
Well, it was nice to see the Raiders finally get that win. Also want to update the audience on my record. I did not end up taking that Packers game. I looked at it. I got off of it. I know the line that ended up jumping up to 10. I did take the Raiders money line. I got like minus 135 or minus 140. Put a couple of units on that. I also had a 16 teaser. I do this every now and then, but I had the Jets +9 and then the over 42.5 in the Falcons-Browns game. They should have scored 55+ in that particular game. But it was nice to see the Raiders win that game. I felt really good about the game, especially after a Quinn Meinerz and Billy Turner were listed as out. There was just nobody that could block Max Crosby. If Crosby and Wilson actually played really well, he hasn't had a terrible season. Yeah, he's getting sacked, but he doesn't have a great offensive line. But he's actually quite accurate. He was 12 of 14 in the first half with 2 touchdowns, so he actually had a pretty good game as well. But I'm excited to see what happens with the Raiders when they bring back, when Renfro gets back, because Waller played pretty well. Jacobs had 140 yards on the ground. Adams caught the balls he was expected to catch. Matt Collins has been a nice little addition. And Matt Collins is kind of interesting because he's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's a pretty good-sized wide receiver. And if they've got Renfro and Waller and Hollins and Adams and a running game with Carr, who's actually a very, very accurate quarterback and has been his entire career on the long ball, the Raiders could be interesting. And I know a couple of people who did not buy the Adams hype, and they put down some huge bets on under team total wins. I want to say it was 8.5 or 8. And they could be in trouble if they can get that offense back and healthy. I don't think they'll be great defensively at any point over the course of the year, but they're going to do well against bad offensive lines or teams that have injuries like that happened against the Broncos. But that offense could be top five or top three with a fully healthy Hunter Renfro.
Let's talk about tonight's game, the Niners at home against the Rams, these two old NFC West rivals. The Niners have beaten them 6 times in a row in the regular season, but of course the Rams won the important one in the NFC title game. People forget that the Rams only won that game by 3 points. It was 20 17. Garoppolo had maybe his worst game as a pro last week. Do you see Jimmy Garoppolo being Jimmy bounce back, or do you see the Rams kind of like they're on rails now and they know what they're doing?
I'm honestly not sure about this. This game is really, really interesting. Last night, my wife just got a new job as a GM of a fast food restaurant, actually. And so I had to kind of help her. I had to help her get around and pick up. It's actually a Taco Bell, but her store ran out of tomatoes. She had to go pick tomatoes from somebody else. But I ended up not being able to get my play-in for the Chiefs, and I had the Chiefs plus two, so that was one that I should have had, and my customer should have had it, but they didn't today. But it's a tough game. It's kind of even like the Bengals game, the Bengals Dolphins. When I looked at that game, I looked at okay. I think that they're totally overmatched. The Dolphins are. Tua's hurt, obviously, but I look at the X factor of Waddle and Hill and just their extremely explosive speed and the way it's all set up with Gesicki, et cetera. And I thought that okay, I'll stay off this one. But this game tonight, again, I don't have a real advantage either way. I have handicapped it a little bit. I don't think that the Rams defense is anywhere near as good as it was the last couple of years. And you know, losing Von Miller has a part to do with that. I think Jalen Ramsey being overrated has something to do with that. But the Niners, and they're missing Brian Allen and missing David Edwards. The Niners may be missing Armstead and Kinlaw. I'm not sure either way about that. They've looked pretty good defensively. I like the Niners with, you know, Jeff Wilson, who's averaging 4.5 yards per carry, and they have Juwan Jennings and Samuel and obviously Brandon Ayuk and then George Kittle. So I'm probably leaning Niners here, but it's a really tough handicap. And then you got to factor in, okay, yeah, they have won six regular season games in a row, but obviously the Rams are the champions last year. Is Stafford, if Armstead and Kinlaw play, and he doesn't have those linemen to block, I mean, we know Stafford usually is at his best when he has really good protection. If he doesn't have great protection, I don't know if you've seen Javon Kinlaw, but the guy's like 6'5", 320 with like 5% body fat. I mean, he's an absolute monster. Armstead's 6'9" himself. So I think if those two play, the Niners should win this game going away. But it's an interesting game, and America really hasn't seen a lot of the Rams this year. They watched them, obviously, in the first game, but that was on Thursday, totally different. Thursday night football and Monday night football, two completely different things. Monday night football probably has three times the audience that Thursday does. So the majority of America has not really seen the Rams this year, and they're still thinking that they're the Super Bowl champs. And I think they've actually gotten quite a bit worse, Rick. How about you?
Yeah, well, we'll see tonight. You're right. It is an interesting game. I think the Rams will win it. One baseball question before I let you go. Tony La Russa is going to retire for good today. We know he's second to Connie Mack all time in wins, four-time manager of the year, 3 World Series, 2 in St. Louis, 1 in Oakland. We know that they won the Central last year, but this year started going downhill. Miguel Cairo came in. They did okay. Do you think that because I know you were high on the White Sox, do you think La Russa held them back, or it wouldn't have mattered who was the skipper?
I don't think it makes a difference. I just think that they totally underperformed. The pitching that they spent money on didn't work out. Giolito had a god-awful year. Lynn had a really bad year. If Cease didn't have the great year that he had, the White Sox may have not even been close. And then obviously they had a lot of injuries offensively. And the players that they counted on, like Jose Abreu, for example, who had a couple of years of 130-plus RBIs. I think he had like 65 or 70 RBIs over the course of the year. They just – the players, and even like an Andrew Vaughn, first round pick, a highly touted guy. Luis Robert got hurt as well. They just didn't – the season just didn't work out for them, and I think that had absolutely nothing to do with Tony La Russa. In fact, you could probably argue that they would have been worse off if they didn't have La Russa.
There he is, J.D. Sharp, againstthenumber.com. Always good stuff. Thanks for your insights.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rick.